Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the third tapes of the interview with Mr. Henry Low on December 18, 1979, by Sue Ellen Chan. Mr. Low, you were talking about very few Chinese, American-born Chinese women went back to China and got married. And if they did so, what was the result? Usually the marriage would be okay, or sometimes didn't turn out.
Well, they mostly married well-to-do family.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order for a mother to take two daughters back, they must be pretty well-to-do themselves.
Mm-hmm.
From those that I have personal knowledge of, it didn't work out. They seemed to be too wide of difference in the customs or the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I think a girl that was brought up in the United States is pretty steep in the Chinese, the American ways of life,
mm-hmm.
and to accept the Chinese as a custom was not compatible.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, and it didn't turn out, and they must have divorce cases?
Oh yes, they divorced to separate because it's just as well, of course, when they're not compatible there. Because I think the reason, usually the in-law involvement, the Chinese mother-in-law, see, pretty strict and observing custom, which an American-born Chinese is hard to understand. And then when they're not happy, then actually that girl would like very much to come back to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And to do so, they in fact have to be divorced.
What would people think about divorce?
Well, in the early days, they look down on them. Sometimes they don't know the real reason for it, and they very unfairly blame the girl.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, each case is different, but the number of divorces few and far between.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I see. Were American-born Chinese just as eager to have sons rather than daughters as their parents?
Well, the husband not so eager. It's usually his family, his parents are eager.
Mm-hmm. So, but how about the American-born grandparents? Were they eager to have grandsons rather than granddaughters?
Well, they are not eager. Well, yes, they're eager, not as eager as those born in China. Because sometimes it depends on the individual. Some of them get overzealous, but
mm-hmm.
by and large, those from China are more eager.
Mm-hmm. I see. What do most people think of an interracial marriage?
Not good, not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Bad in early days.
Why it's not healthy?
Well, they can't see an Eurasian, mixed marriages and like that. And most of them in the early days didn't work out too well.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know whose fault it is though, but But it's pretty hard for them to succeed when they have so much animosity in the family.
So what about the children of the...
Well, those poor children suffer. See? They're not recognized by they're not accepted by the American, and likewise the Chinese don't accept them. They just
Uh-huh. Do you know of any instance of it?
Oh, many instances.
Were they accepted by some Chinese?
Well, eventually, after 20 years, 30 years, then most of the time when the grandchildren were born, then the grandparents slowly accepted.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
I've known many instances where the parent just disowned the girl for her marrying out of Odawa.
What did you or others think of the way Chinese were portraying American movies?
Not too good in the early days. See, always the image of a Chinese laundryman carrying a big...
Did you or your friends or anyone you knew make any protest?
Well, we tried in certain years when it gets too bad, but... These movie makers, you know, they're in for the money, they care less.
Mm-hmm. You did try, though.
We try, but we don't make our voice loud enough, you know, to be effective.
What kind of...
Well, you just go up to talk to them. They give you a lot of promises if you don't do anything. By that time, the picture's over, and then the new one come out, so it just takes... It's meaningless, you know, whatever protest.
Who were these people you went and talked to?
Well, I didn't do it personally, but I know people who would go to the studio, to the restaurant, or through some American organization or something like that.
I see. So, did you ever hear anyone say they were embarrassed to be Chinese?
Well, seldom. Those are usually the young folks. Mostly they are American born that don't understand, they're few and far between. A lot of them are smart enough to not say anything at all.
What types of jobs would most Chinese consider to be?
Before the Second World War, working in the bank was considered prestigious. Mm-hmm. And of course, or an American concern, or any large American concern, see, which heretofore had not been hiring Chinese. It's how the Chinese could get a job. The employer figure on the returns by hiring Chinese, they would in turn get a lot of business from the Chinese, and it more than pays for hiring a Chinese. That's why the banks were so eager. And then the insurance companies started hiring Chinese. In San Francisco, a lot of those big insurance companies, they started after they hired one or two and found out the Chinese was so efficient and dependable, they just started hiring a lot of other Chinese. So all those were considered better than working as a in restaurants or a salesman. At least it was an office job. So.
How about the other professional jobs, like engineer or lawyer?
Well, there were no lawyer until in about in the 30s. the earliest lawyer, who, the first one to have passed the California State Bar examination was Mr. Yu Cheng Hong, Hong Yu Zhong. And he was early practicing, specializing in immigration law, and very successful. Then subsequently, the Chinese began studying law. And now we have judges, and senators, legislature, all our lawyers.
Why in the old days there were not many of them?
Prejudice. You couldn't get in. Mm-hmm. You didn't even dare to get in.
What did people ever try to get into, like engineers, the School of Engineers?
Well, they get into engineers, they graduate with an engineer degree, but they never could get a job. It wasn't hard.
What would they do if they couldn't get
a job? Well, they have to take any job in order to keep from starving.
Mm-hmm. So do you know any of the
instances? Oh, I know quite a few. Some of the students I went to. And someone said, "Well, I want to study it anyway, whether I get a job or not." But some of them went back to China and did pretty well in engineering.
If they couldn't find a job, would they take like washing jobs or
any kind of a job? Any kind of a job, because they can't afford to be idle very long. Someone could work and continue going to school. See, get their master degrees and then someone took the teaching.
Can we talk a little bit about the old Chinatown? What could you remember? What can you remember about the old Chinatown? What it looked like?
You mean the Los Angeles old Chinatown?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the Los Angeles old Chinatown, the land belongs to a Mexican. Mm-hmm. It's an old Mexican land grant family called Apaplaza family owned it. Mm-hmm. And they leased it to Chinese. That's only they leased the ground. The Chinese put up the building there. But they're very inexpensive buildings they built it in.
You mean the Chinese build the building?
Yeah, but they're very one-story brick building. And then you see, Chinatown was not considered part of the main town. All Chinatown was an outskirt of town. They wouldn't let the Chinese live right in town. So right outside, see, in those days, that was outside of the Los Angeles city limits.
Your uncle lived in old Chinatown before, is that correct?
Not in Los Angeles, no.
Oh, not in Los Angeles.
In Oakland.
Oakland, I see.
I'm speaking of this Chinatown.
Uh-huh, in LA. Mm-hmm. Did you ever live in LA, old Chinatown?
No, yourself? I never did.
Did you ever visit any of the friends there?
Oh, yes, I did, sure.
Uh-huh. You went there for business?
No, just for pleasure. I had no
for
business.
For pleasure. Yeah. And in your own observation, what type of house is this? Like a wooden house, two-story?
No, they were brick houses, two-story houses. Uh-huh. Pretty sturdy brick, but and all the doors and covered with heavily iron bars to keep out the hoodlums. See?
It was built by Chinese.
Built by Chinese, too. A lot of them didn't even use nails. They used wooden pegs.
And like the ground floor will be for business?
For business purposes.
And how about
living quarters in the back upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Upstairs for living quarters, too? And others is what kind of stores there were in old Chinatown?
Well, a store for Chinese provision, grocery, and meat market. They used to be able to kill dress the pig in Chinatown, you know. And of course, most of them were restaurants. Mm-hmm. And some of them are just ordinary, general merchandise. Mostly food stuff, and sometimes you have a tailor, and those occasionally.
Were they at?
Chinese drugstore, herb store.
Herb store. And how about gambling house?
Yes, in the back.
Oh, in the back. Mm-hmm. How many were there?
Well, in the old days in Chinatown, I guess there probably were 20.
20?
Yeah.
In back of the what, store?
At first it came, not necessarily, but they had some that was really open, but no. And then later on they take those when the gambling stopped. So the American Enterprise entered them and started using for barbecue places. For instance, Jerry Jordan was well known. Mm-hmm. They take four gambling houses bigger, and they left the outside. It was supposed to be a treat to come down here and visit Chinatown. It's a Chinatown in the old days. Here's a gambling house, and you go through one door and another door to get there. And then when you get in there, there's a dining room, see? And they had the barbecue spare ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was well known to call Jerry's Joint.
Was it owned by American?
All American, all Chinese cooks.
And
then, of course, there's quite a few of the Chinese importer house too, retailer, you know, and people who handle the Chinese furniture and like F.C. On.
Mm-hmm.
He used to rent a lot of props for movie people.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
See, he had the best, largest selection of Chinese furniture and carving, you know. All genuine, mm-hmm. authentic mm-hmm. Chinese art goods.
Mm-hmm. And when Chinatown was torn down, did that affect the Chinese who lived there?
Well, there were very few Chinese live in Chinatown by that time.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them live away from China. Just right now. Just very, very small percentages in China. Of course, now with the new China down here, you notice when you look toward the west side, all those new apartments that the Chinese had.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly, most of those are occupied the immigrants. But by and large, the great majority of the Chinese family live away from Chinatown because
mm-hmm.
there's not enough room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the people go out there and see now that the businesses are so diversified. See, and they live away, closer to the business.
Mm-hmm.
See, like Monterey Park, Inglewood, Pasadena,
mm-hmm.
see, Santa Monica.
When they decide to put a Union Station in old Chinatown, what would the Chinese think? You know, they have any difficulties to find a place to move out, or?
Well, going back to that particular incident, they knew they had to get out there, but they took the good time. I remember that the last one, the guy mentioned, he went out, so the bulldozer came right down and just shoveled right into when they're still doing business. They had given them a whole year to leave, see? And in the meantime, most of us Chinese Americans were like, myself and a few others were looking for a location. And Peter Suhu, who's a native of the Chinese name of Shido Yunfa, he was an engineer, graduate of USC, working for the Department of Water and Power. And he was born in Chinatown, and he knew. So he is went and looking for this. A location in the campus and finally found this piece of land up on North Broadway
mm-hmm.
that belonged to the Santa Fe Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally came to terms. Santa Fe Railroad was very good. They said, we'll give you this at our cost. You can lease it, with, you know, and the option to buy. So we started it. But then it was a hard time getting people to move up there for the simple reason that people didn't. No, they're skeptical. Gee, you think Chinatown way up there, you think it'll do any good? And you have a lot of people, you know, that had other, there's two, three other sites. Naturally, those people who sponsor the different sites, they will trying to promote their site, and by doing that, they would make a derogatory statement about the North Broadway site. But the adventure turned out, well, time is running out. Mm-hmm. So you got to take a, so we got to collect all the money we can get and start putting payment down there and get it started.
Where did you collect the money?
Well, these three people who bought various places, leased. And some of them had some money and then they borrowed some. Mm-hmm. And it's not putting down for putting up the buildings, you see. Mm-hmm. We were on. And one thing led another. We had to do a lot of promotion. That was a time when they had the Rice Bowl, right when the Japanese attacked China, and the American public sympathized with the Chinese. Right? And we had the movie company. So we put on parade and promotion. And the first time we had the Rice Bowl festival. All the movie companies sent the stars down, paraded. Yeah? And we went around to various big dealers, to like the Coca-Cola, quite a few of the large bakeries, mm-hmm. and asked them to contribute. See, so much, they contributed thousands and thousands of buns, and Coca-Cola wasn't so expensive in America, and we sold them with all this money. So we made about $100,000. We used that money to buy ambulances to China. We can't help but to supply any arms to China. But we can do it for humanitarian reasons. We did a lot of that kind of work. And we had quite a good response. We were only amateurs. I got up on the loudspeaker, just I don't know what I was saying, but the people were just taking it in. And all the Chinese were united, all right. And they come in and helped them. We put on lots of different shows, you know, that was the Second World War. And that started China up here. We had Governor Merriam come down here and dedicate it. Mm-hmm. See? We, the Chinese, the American citizen, asked him, if we didn't vote, he wouldn't come down here. It was quite a, you know, they had the governor start to come down here. At that time, we didn't know. We just went ahead anyway. We had everything to gain, nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. We either sink or swim. Mm-hmm. But the thing, everything got better and better and better.
How about the China City? When was
the... They're at the same time, but they were down below on Spring Street, but they didn't have enough land. Mm-hmm. See, it's too narrow for this.
And most Chinese there were what kind of business?
Same business. Food business and art goods. Mm-hmm. They had the good earth, the prop there. They mm-hmm. left it there for a while. Uh-huh. Sort of a mm-hmm. something to induce people to go over. Mm-hmm.